This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here. TK Show, recording from my home studio. On with a friend of mine, somebody who might have some free time these days. But it's great to have on my friend. It's Tom Tolbert. 28 years at KNBR, Tom Tolbert. This is your first official day not at KNBR for 28 years. How does that feel?
You know, it feels bizarrely normal. I mean, I guess I would have started the show a little bit ago. So, but you know. I got up, did a lot of the same things that I normally do. Get up, take Lou for a walk, and go to the store, grab some stuff for dinner, come home. Monday, laundry day, of course, so got to get that done. And then just kind of figuring out what the rest of the day holds. But like the whole weekend was the exact same as when I was doing the show. It was, you know, I watched like five college football games on Saturday and watched a whole bunch of pro football on Sunday, and I'm going to watch the Warriors tonight. And so it's funny. I told people, and I don't know if they believe me or not, but like literally I got paid to do what I do anyway. So it's not like my life's going to change a ton. I mean, obviously, aside from a paycheck, but I'll do the same stuff that I did during the show. That's why it was so much fun to do, and I enjoyed doing it so much because, well, who else is going to want to hear what I have to say after watching all these games?
Because I don't know if it's showing up on the feed here on the YouTube, but Tommy's popped up on his Zoom. You know, you see the video, and mine has my name on it. His has fired. So I was laughing when I saw it. He just pops up. Oh, okay. I guess that's Tommy. It's nobody else. That isn't somebody else trying to jump in here. That's Tom's over. I'll ask a journalistic question. Yeah. I mean, do you still have contract left, or is that the end of your contract and you're not being paid by KNBR anymore?
It was it. I mean, there was more left on it, but I'll get paid to the end of the year, and then that'll be it. And then I'll move on and kind of tell you, I'll take a little bit of time off, figure out what I want to do, and talk to some people. I got a whole bunch of people that I worked with that I met through KNBR, and a bunch of smart people that no longer work there but were part of my team for a while. So we're just going to sit down and talk about stuff and see what makes sense and see what would be fun to do, and maybe what might be different to do than we've been doing that anybody else is doing. I mean, kind of good luck with that. I mean, there's so much stuff out there that it's hard to come, you know, reinvent the wheel, so to speak. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of exciting, actually. I'm kind of looking forward to it. 28 years is a long time. I loved every minute of it while I was there. And to be able to talk sports for a living was, I mean, it's really a joke, to be honest with you. I've been in sports and talked about sports for the last, 34 years, and then college basketball. I mean, it's probably been 40-plus years that I've spent my entire life living a kid's dream, getting to play sports and talk sports for a living, and doing both at a relatively high level. So I'm pumped, though. I'm pumped to see what's out there. Like, I don't think radio is in the strongest position anymore for radio. So I'm just kind of curious, like, what's out there, what I can do. And I've already talked to people, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually excited.
You sent me a text when I changed jobs recently. I went to the San Francisco Standard. You're like, yeah, can't you hold a job or something like that, which I took as a great comment. And like, you know what? I think I might have told you then, or might tell you recently. Starting something new is fun. It's exciting. I think you're feeling that right now. Like, you get there's just new things. You're talking to new people, or maybe some of the same people, but it's different. It's new. It's energizing. And you had an incredible run. Absolutely at the top of the game, top of the market. But I can sense, even when we talked on Thursday, like, I could sense there was energy in your voice. Like, there's something new out there. There's a new horizon. And I wonder if it's hitting you even more now. Well, there's a dog looking me in the face right now.
This has been my show. Like, when I do the show from home, this is Lou.
Hey, Lou.
And Lou is a constant in my life and a constant. She's the one that I go take walks with. And she's like my best friend. She just goes everywhere with me and hangs out. But we talked about that. And I just, Tim, I just feel like I have a lot more energy to do this. I don't feel like I'm retiring. And I want to, like, just get away from sports. Like, sports has been a part of my life forever. I just can't wait to disassociate myself with sports. Now I feel the same way. Like, if you came over to my house on Saturday, Sunday, you would think I was still doing the radio show, because that's my life. And I love talking about sports. There's so many things going through my head right now in terms of, like, what I'd be talking about today, like what I found interesting over the weekend. And I just, I'm kind of excited to see, like, where I could go, what's new. There's so many people that I talk to, including yourself, but Steve Kerr, Steve Young, Brent Jones, I Dave Fleming. I mean, I can name 50 names that Remenda, most of them are on my show, and then add another 30-40 on that I just really enjoyed talking to and really enjoyed the conversation. And I just love talking sports and love getting into, different aspects of sports, the minutia of sports. And I am. You sense it on Thursday, because that's kind of the way I felt. Like, I was already on to what's next? What are we doing?
By the way, Kurt told me to remind you that you can't swear on my podcast. So you're encouraged to swear if you wish. And podcast is a wide world.
Everybody tells me that. Like we did this thing on KMBR. They call it the After Dark Stream, which was I'll swear for you, it's a stupid fucking idea. We went up against Giants games. It's like, I have no idea what we're doing here. But anyway. And one of the higher ups said, have fun, have a beer. I go, I already do that. I go, I don't need to do that on the stream show. Curse. And I was like, you guys do understand the dynamics of this, right? You guys understand that if I'm on the same stream and we're doing the show, and then all of a sudden we switch off to the, quote unquote, After Dark original stream, and now I can start cursing, then I'm going to be more likely to have one slip on the air, because you just get comfortable to doing it. And I was like, look, I'm not going to do it just to do it. I'm not going to do it to jazz something up or make it seem like, now we're irreverent. Like, cursing doesn't mean you're irreverent. So, I've always kind of tried to stay away from it a little bit, although I think it's appropriate in certain instances. But for me, I always felt like, and I'm one that doesn't mind throwing a stray curse word around off the air, but when I was on the air, I was cognizant of it early. I never really thought much about it late, but I didn't want to have to rethink it and go, okay, I can curse on here, I can't curse on there. So I said, you know what, if I do, I do. And I think I did once or twice, but I tried not to make a habit of it.
You don't want to be ordered to do it. You don't want to be
You know me, Tim. I'm not a big fan of being led by a bit down a certain road. And Kerr's a potty mouth anyway. So what
he is. That I say that is one of the real first great insights I got about Steve was he's hired. I knew him. Like I talked to him, and you certainly know about him as a player, and you know him as a broadcaster, and when he was executive. But like I just talking to you, go, oh man, that guy is such a competitor. He is the gets angrier about losing than anybody. Like I had to think about that, and it's so true. It's such an interesting look, and Kerr likes it when you understand that. Like if you think he's just this, you know, nice guy, that's not. He's a competitor. He is a motherfucker. I'm swearing though, but
like, no, just, please. Yeah, I'm not a prude. I can handle. Yeah, I played in the NBA too.
It's an itch. I'm care about my listeners. The fragile nature of my listeners.
Fragile listeners. Okay.
But no, just the relationship with Draymond. You know, those that was one time among many though when. Just knowing you and knowing your relationship with people, and especially that guy, Steve Kerr, was really important for me, important for the way I looked at him, important for the way I got them. Steve screamed at me, right? You know, not on, you know, like in a moment, but that's okay. We, you know, we got over it. We got past it. Has he ever gotten really mad at you, like playing days or anything like that?
I'm sure he has, like when we were in Arizona. I'm sure, you know, I did some things, but I don't remember him ever, you know, really yelling at me. I mean, I would have fucking punched him, all right? If you had said, look, you're from like Palisades, don't give me any crap, okay? And I don't want to hear it from you or to whatever the hell, wherever. Let's put it this way. He was from a much better area than I was growing up. So, but I do know that Steve, and I've always said this about great coaches have a certain amount of asshole in them. Mm-hmm. You have to. Every one of them, there is not one of them that's just a genuine nice guy, because those guys get walked over. I mean, you got to have someone that's willing to proverbially grab someone around the scruff of their collar and say, hey, look, that ain't the way it's done. This is the way we're going to do it. And this is the way I expect it to be done, period. And you have to be willing to do that. And it's not easy at the professional level because these guys are making more money than you are. And, you know, they just got stuff. So it's hard to do that. But you got to have a way to get through to them and let them know that, like, you're not happy with it. You can't just let them walk all over you. And Steve's always had that, even going back to college. Yeah, he could be demanding on certain things. There's no doubt about it. And I could always sense it in him. Like, people always thought, you know, Lute always thought. Not Lute thought. Everybody thought that Lute thought that Steve was the golden child, which, I mean, he was. He was. And I go, if I could only tell Lute. I go, if I told Lute, I go, oh, my gosh, you kidding me? You'd be in trouble. But, yeah, like, he's not that guy. He's as nice as you think he is. He's as smart as you think he is. He's as great a guy as you think he is. But that's not all. It's like I always tell people, you can tell the whole truth without telling all of the truth. Like the whole truth can be 60% of the actual truth, but it's still the actual mm-hmm. truth. It's just not the whole truth. With Steve, there's more to him, and he's a lot more complex. I don't know if that's accurate, but he's got a lot more facets to him, let's put it that way, than a lot of people think. And look, they're winning. He won last game and he got pissed off. He
was very pissed
at the end of the game. I was like, bro, you won the game. But there was a point he was trying to make. I'm sure knowing him, it had to do with traveling, which mm-hmm. I tell him is going to go on his tombstone. I died because I was yelling at someone for not calling a traveling call. Like, traveling is like just the bane of his existence. And I think there was a few of them out there that just it got to a boiling point. He was not thrilled with it, but that, if you want to know how competitive he is, that's how competitive he is. They won the game, and he's still going after the official at the end of the game because he had a point to make, And at that point, it wasn't about wins and losses. It was about the principle of the thing. And that's the kicker.
Well, yeah, and you're showing the players you care. Like, you sometimes over some different stuff, but that's, you know, it's not just firing. It's just, I care. I care as much as you, as much as Draymond Green, I care. Much as Steph Curry, I care.
Yep.
And that's how you last this long. That's how you win all these games.
No doubt.
Also being the smart guy and the nice guy and the communicator and all those things. But yeah, that was one Tom Tolbert moment that was very important for a lot of the ways I looked at this guy and this team. Tom, like, when they tell you on Thursday, is that when they told you, or they tell you on Wednesday? Like, and
Wednesday.
What was that conversation like?
Short. I didn't say a whole lot during the conversation because there wasn't a whole lot to say. Like, I didn't really know it was coming, but it didn't surprise me. Just because I don't think the company's doing that well. Mm-hmm. And I figured they're going to try to ax people that make a decent amount of money. And so he told me, and I said, okay, you know, cool. And then they asked me if I wanted to do a last show. And I said, yeah, I'd like to do a last show. It'd be nice to say goodbye to some people, and not even really goodbye, because it really wasn't about goodbye. I just wanted to talk to them one last time on the air, the people that I've been doing the show with for 10, 15, 20-plus years that are regulars on the show. So, yeah. So that was basically it. It wasn't any more complicated than that.
You're not a overly sentimental guy, which I really appreciate about you and about the show, but having all these guys, and I know you were talking sports and you're asking Kerr about the Warriors and you're asking, you know, whatever, but they all, you know, listen, if you're on that show, you have to tell what you've meant, and what these 28 years have meant. What was it like listening to Steve Young give a tribute to you, or even Kerr snuck one in there?
I tried to shut him down. I tried to say, stop, we're not doing that today. What it means to me is my feelings are reciprocated. And like, but I already kind of knew that. We've been friends for a long time. Hell, Steve Young and I feel like we're really good friends, and we never see each other, like, ever. We just talk, we'll text on the phone occasionally. But the conversations we've had, and that's what I've always tried to bring the listeners, is an insight into somebody and who they are and their thought process and how they think about things, not, you know, grilling somebody or asking them the quote-unquote tough questions or stuff like that. I mean, I felt like I asked tough questions, but maybe not in a, you know, beat your fist down on a table type of way. But I just, that's all I wanted, was to have a fun conversation. And I felt those guys felt the same way. I think they all loved coming on the show. That's why they did it. I mean, it wasn't for the money we were paying them, I'll tell you that. It was because I think they had a good time. Steve Young has said many times that's kind of therapeutic for him, coming on Wednesdays and getting to talk football for a half an hour or 35, 40 minutes, however long we did it. Brent Jones came on because we've been doing it for years and years, and he just wanted to keep coming on and talking with me and talking football. So Steve Kerr, obviously, we've known each other for, oh man, close to 40 years. So they're just all my buddies. You know, to one extent or the other, I don't consider them interview subjects, and I just consider them friends that we're having a conversation with. That's why I always kind of, and even in the Kerr intro, I think you can hear it. It says conversation, not an interview. It's conversation. Yeah. I always felt like all my interactions, or most of them anyway, especially with those type of people, were conversations, not interviews.
Yeah, I mean, Shanahan, I guess, what sent word about to you about it was always a conversation. And I know that means something to him.
Yeah.
You know, that he doesn't like the stilted. And then nobody likes the stilted. I hate the stilted.
Yeah.
Like, just reading me three questions and I could say something goofy and you won't go there because you got these questions and you don't know exactly know other than just what you're reading off of. And it was you and Ralph. It was, who knows where anything was going to go.
Who knows? It was me.
But that, I think, you know, people who are interviewed a lot, or I'd say even people who do interviews, appreciate that part of it. It's like, we don't know where it's going to go. You're not scripting it. and we can have some fun. We can get serious. We can whatever. And I appreciate that Shanahan made that point because I think that's meaningful to him. That's not just a throwaway line from him. That's something that really matters.
Well, I felt like that. I mean, even when when you were on or whoever was on, like I had a general idea of what I wanted to start with, asking a question. And then after that, I always felt like listening was better than talking. So from what you would say to me, I might have something that I want to follow up on, or it might take me in a completely different direction. Like something might spark in my head, like, oh, you know what? I didn't think about that, but let me ask about this. And then that might lead to something else. That might lead to something else. So I never, not once in my 28 years, wrote down questions for a conversation. Never. In fact, most of the time, until recently, you know, over the last couple of years where the show was kind of planned out segment by segment, not by me. but I didn't mind that. But when Ralph and I did it, we never met. We never did it. We just showed up. And I always said it was like jazz. Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was great. Sometimes it was clunky. But that's what excited me about it, is not knowing where it's going to go. That's what excited me about doing the interviews, the conversations, where I didn't know exactly where it was going to go. I knew where I could start it because there's certain topics that you want to get to. But after that, who knows? I might not even get to a topic that I wanted to get to because something else might be more interesting. And I think if you limit yourself to having those questions and asking those questions, then you really limit yourself to the possibilities of where the show may end up going. Because there could be some great stuff out there that you never really touch on because you're not willing to go there. And I was always willing to go there to see where the hell it was going to go.
I don't want to be evangelist for this medium, but that's podcasting, Tommy. That's for the podcast world. Do you kind of feel that's where you might end up, you know, doing some version of a podcast where you can go at length, you can go an hour, you can go 45 minutes if you want, and you can talk whatever you want to and just be interesting and have conversations?
Yeah. No, I absolutely. Like, there was something that happened today. And it's happened to me before, and I touched upon it on the radio show just for a little bit because, you know, we're moving on to other things. But something interesting that's happened, because I've gone for so many walks, right, since my aorta issue, that I've noticed over the last few years, and it's happened more recently, maybe in the last 5 years or so, 4 years or so, is like you go out walking, nobody ever says hi to you when they're walking by you. And by nobody, I mean, you know, a vast majority of people won't even give you a head nod or a, you know, deuces or just like a little, you know, a little cursory, like, how you doing? Like, acknowledge somebody from their own species is actually just walking by them. It's like plugged in, head down, and moving on. And they don't have time to acknowledge people. I mean, I've always been one to, like, smile, wave, you know, whatever. I always get on people for when they, you know, want to squeeze in traffic, which always cracks me up anyway. I'm like, buddy, what are you saving, 4 seconds? I mean, just wait your turn. But when if I'm going to let you in to a crowded line, roll down your window, stick your hand out, give me a little wave, give me a little acknowledgement, all right? Like, Lou, every dog she walks by, she acknowledges. Every single one of them. I'm a canine. They're a canine. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I'd love to come sniff your butt, but I'm on a leash, so I can't. But I'm going to acknowledge you. I may bark at you. I may just like look at you. But for whatever reason, like it's just weird in society now. It's like so many people are into their own things, and I don't know if they're just unwilling to conversate or have a conversation or acknowledge or feel uncomfortable doing it because this generation is more and more likely to be in their phones or online rather than outdoors, actually meeting people, conversating with people, acknowledge, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but that's something that I got to have somebody on to dig into. Like, what the hell's going on here? And why don't we even acknowledge people of our own species when we walk by them anymore? That just seems wrong to me.
It's gotten to the point where, yeah, I don't even, if someone says something who's a stranger near me and I'm outdoor, like, I assume they're not talking to me. I assume they're on their phone because they all are on their phone 85% of the time. If someone's just talking, they're not talking to you. Yeah. So it's surprising when someone's, you know, hey, hello. And I, that's very, very rare.
Yeah, well, somebody actually stopped me. Somebody stopped me and waved at me. And like, as I was going by, they go, hey, I just want to let you know, I heard you on the show. How you doing? Good night. Have a nice day. Yep. They go, you know what? Have a nice day to you too. Hope it's enjoyable. And I moved on, and I was very happy the rest of my walk. I was like, you know what? That's pretty cool. That's all it takes. You don't even got to say anything. Just give a little wave. Like, you know I exist. Like, you actually saw me walk by you would be more than enough. But apparently, that's too much to ask them.
Well, you get in the podcast world, Tommy. You just lock in. You just lock in. You put the headphones on and the world, tune out the world. I'll just say what I've been telling people. Like, I think the practical thing here, you can comment on, and I think maybe you will have something to say, but you know, we all know radio's in trouble. Newspapers are in trouble. This is a very similar parallel. The old advertising revenue streams are just not there anymore.
Yeah.
People are, you know, we talk about podcasts, we talk about whatever digitally, and I've left newspapers like 8 years ago, whatever hell it was now. And this is radio, you know, if radio cannot have Tom Tolbert employed, then radio is no longer going to be in existence for much longer. That's what I feel. And I'm not just saying, you know, I'm saying it specific to you, but it is such a clear, like my buddies are saying this. And we're all about the same age. We all grew up with the same reference points. We all like sports. We've talked about sports. We've listened to the radio going back years, or have some favorites in ESPN Sports Center. But this feels like a dividing line for me. You know, maybe it's just a selected group of people I know, but it's a lot of people, I think. Like, if you can't have the best people, then what the hell are you doing? Like, where are you? That's how I feel, Tom. Like, maybe you can take yourself out of it, but you can't. What are you feeling about this industry right now?
I mean, I probably got in it at right around the best time. I mean, maybe a little before my time. But, man, it was great. It was great because it was before, you know, podcasts and social media. People were actually in their cars. People weren't working from home as much. And it was just really, you know, you had a captive audience. I mean, by definition. And now it's totally different. I just think the way people consume stuff is different. So if they're going to consume stuff, you know, on podcasts or on YouTube or whatever they're doing, you know, she's got to eat. She's like, hey, she doesn't really care, Tim. It's 2 o'clock. She goes, it's 2 o'clock. I'm overdue. My stomach's saying eat. She's going to keep bothering me until I feed her. So
I'm watching Lulu and Tom. That's what we're talking. If you're listening to the audio.
Lulu is just Lulu is unrelenting. She's like 40 minutes of hell. She's going to play for Nolan Richards. It's unbelievable. But so if all that's true, and less people are listening because they can get their podcast or whatever, however they want to consume, then of course the advertisers aren't going to give as much money. And when the advertisers, you know, aren't paying as much for the product, then you're going to have less money to hand down to the talent. So the talent that really afford it should be paid and is worth being paid. I don't think there really is anything there to pay them with nowadays. So it's kind of a tough gig. I don't know where it's going. I mean, obviously, it's not going in the right direction. I don't know ultimately if it's just local broadcast rights and team-affiliated shows that surround games, and that's, you know, that'll be it. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see though where it goes, or if it's like a starting off point for people who do want to start podcasting or whatever. Maybe they're getting into radio, or they work for a team, or maybe teams are going to start having their own employees do radio. But I'm not sure. It's just it's certainly people's listening habits are much different than they used to be. And as we evolve, you know, that's to be expected. And you're not even sure what's next, what's on the docket. But yeah, it's not great.
You mentioned the team stuff. I mean, you do the Warriors radio for the home games. Could you see expanding your role with the Warriors broadcast, or do some, you know, streaming stuff for the Warriors, anything like that?
I don't know. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, look, I love talking hoops and love the Warriors. I love being affiliated with the Warriors. I played for the Warriors. The head coach is one of my best friends. So, yeah, I mean, I love being able to go there, call the games. the guys that I work with, including Tim Roy, the best. So, yeah, I mean, I could. But again, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I just want to do, you know, basketball stuff. I doubt it, because that's the one thing that was frustrating with me toward that frustrated me toward the end of my tenure at KNBR was we got into a very structured habit of talking Giants, Niners, Warriors. Giants, Niners, Warriors. Hey, let's mix it up today and go Warriors, Niners, Giants. Like, okay, that sounds tricky. But let's give it a shot, see how it goes. I think it's going to probably be the same. Because I think they thought, okay, this is what moves the dial. This is what people are interested in listening to. Because now on radio, you can tell people are listening to up to the minute, like down to the minute. Okay, this is working. They're dropping off here. They're here. Oh, you're talking hockey. They're dropping off. Okay, so we can't talk hockey. UFC is not really hitting. Mm-hmm. You want to talk that. College football doesn't really hit. So we'll limit that to this and that. I'm like, what are we doing then? So we're just going to talk the big local teams? Like, that's it? Like, I'm sure they love it. Of course mm-hmm. they love it. I mean, they'd love it if you just talked about their team for 4 hours. But sorry, the way I always went about it is I'm not an infomercial for you. If you're interesting, I'll talk about you. If you're not, I won't. If you do something stupid, I'm gonna make fun of you. And if you do something great, I'll say you guys are awesome. So that's just kind of the way. But if you're just dead boring, then I'm not going to try to make you more exciting. That's not my job. So I've always wanted to talk about the whole world of sports. And if I'm talking baseball, it's not just the Giants, or basketball, not just the Niners. Like, just kind of Roth and I did that a lot. Like, where it's more like a national show, but yep. You know, the central theme was local stuff. But we used to talk about all the stories that were coming out. I felt like we lost a little bit of that. So I don't know if I just want to do one team or one sport. Like, you know, I watched the UFC this weekend. Mm. Terrible card, by the way. Mm. I watched the first round of that Tyson debacle.
That was sad.
I watched the round. I go, that's it. I go, I've had it. Because it's everything I thought it was going to be. Mm. And I was like, what am I doing? I go, I'm not doing it. I've never paid for a fight of Paul's ever. I didn't pay for this since I already have Netflix. And I go, I never will. I go, let me tell you what's going to – let me save everybody the effort of spending like $50-$60. He's going to pick somebody you know. They're going to be well past their prime. They're going to say intimidating things and make fun of each other and then go out there and Jake Paul will win because he's 20 or 30 years younger, and then he'll proclaim himself the greatest, and then you'll be mad at him for being a con man. Dude, he just sold you. He's a great salesman. Give that man his due, because that's exactly what he is. But, you know, that kind of stuff we could talk. I was watching all this over the weekend. So, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do one thing or not. I told you on Thursday, I got a bunch of stuff bouncing around in my head, and I'm not sure exactly if I'm going to – how wide a net I'll have to cast to, like, corral it all and get it to all make sense for me.
Great to have.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Options, Tommy. It's great to have options. It's great to see different things.
Well, I don't have any yet, so we'll see.
Well, let's try to get you some. My goodness, come on, call us right now. I do want to – let's talk a little bit, like, you know, okay, well, we'll do the talk show thing. But I am curious.
Yeah. Okay.
Kyle Shanahan is such a unique personality in the NFL, in this market. You know, I know him very well. We talk a lot. I get that he can be edgy. I get that he hasn't won the big game, but it just continues to kind of be this flashpoint. What's your, like, okay, now they go 5-5, lose another game they should have won. There is a tidal wave of anti-Shanahan rhetoric, as there always tends to be. Where you're on this kind of this, like, after, you know, 7 years into this, we're still into this Kyle Shanahan debate. Is it exhausting to you? Is it interesting to you? What's your take on just this kind of brewing Shanahan conversation?
Well, a couple of things I will say. They wanted to fire Steve Kerr last year and the year before. There's always a faction of fans that want to get rid of the coach because they think that's going to work. Andy Reid didn't win for 14 years in Philly, and then took him going to Kansas City to win, and now he's considered the greatest coach, one of the greatest coaches of all time. So, look, sometimes you just got to stick things out and ride it out. If you know you have somebody who's really smart and good at what they do, you got to ride through the bad times. You just have to, because owners way too often make impulsive decisions that are based on fan reaction and season tickets and all that stuff, where they should just say, look, I know we have somebody who's there are people who wanted to fire. Remember, they wanted to fire Sabian way back with the Giants.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I have a bunch of people that I know in baseball, scout stuff. And I just asked them, I go, what's his reputation in baseball? They said, really good. Like, he really knows his stuff and really knows what he's doing. So I remember coming on the air at the time just going, look, I don't know why you guys want to get rid of him because they're losing. This guy, like, he knows what's going on. Like, he knows, and they stuck with him. And they stuck with him, and they ended up winning 3 championships. So if you have somebody smart, you're better off riding the downtimes, just saying, you know what, we're going to have this. Everyone's going to have this. We don't need – grass isn't always greener. So I'm a big fan of Kyle Shanahan. I think he's a really, really good coach. Does he have flaws? Yeah, every coach has flaws. Like, every coach does some things that make you scratch your head. I mean, I told him last year that I disagree with him on the way, you know, they handled overtime in the Super Bowl. Hmm. Like, how I would never not take the ball second, because I need to know what I got to do. And he told me, well, the analytics said, and we just came off a 10-play drive. So he goes, normally I would agree with you. And he goes, I might agree with you if I could do it all over again.
But yeah, goes, I know what happened. I'll just try the other thing. Yeah.
He goes, that's why we did it. And I go, look, I get it. I get the explanation. Like, I don't agree with it. And that's all I ever really wanted of people, is like, thought process. Okay, what were you thinking when you did this? And I don't agree with it, because I've always said, I'm always a second. Give me the ball second, always. I go, whatever factors are present, they're mitigated by getting 4 downs to get 3, get a first down. I mean, that's just an overriding factor for me. So, but I think I think he's really smart. And I think every coach, there are fans that want every coach fired if you lose. Like, they're just not, they are what their record says, like Bill Parcells says. They're like 5-5. That's who they are this year. Like, they're confounding, because going into yesterday's game, they were number 2 in the league in yards per play offense, number 7 in the league yards per play defense. Special teams, I mean,
lower than that.
Yeah, it was just god awful. Mm-hmm. But then they do stuff, you know, 3rd and 1. Holding. Now it's 3rd and 11. You're off the field. You know, just every game, 2 or 3 things pop up that are like critical things that don't factor into the stats. And they're one of those teams that the stats say one thing, and they say another. Like, it's like, nope, if we were as good as those stats, we'd be like 7-3 right now. Or, because I mean, look at the games they've lost, and I won't even count yesterday's, because yesterday's, I mean, the offense wasn't good enough to pull away when I thought it had a chance to. But we keep going back to the Rams and Cardinals games. I mean, those games, they were like both 95% win tiles. Like, those were like games they almost had in the bag. They were there. And what happens? You know, Rams game, missed kick, blown defensive assignment, fumble inside the red zone by Mason against the Cardinals. I mean, just that's the thing. Every time there's a thing. In every game, it seems like there's a thing, if not 3 things, that happen. And everybody always gets on me for not holding the coaches accountable and everything. And I try to ask them the questions that I want to know, and to get the thought process that I think are interesting. But, and I told people this, I go, 20-something years ago, I go, look, I'm not going to hold the coaches that accountable as you want, but I'm going to hold the players accountable, because I played. And we always said in the locker room, this is on us. You know, he can put us out there to do certain things, and coaches make a difference, there's no doubt. But when you're a former player, the players are the ones you're going to hold accountable. It's like, you have a job to do. Do your job. So I'm the one that's going to say, catch the damn ball. Don't fumble it. Stop holding when it's third and one. Stop jumping off sides in key situations. Like, the players got to go do stuff, all right? And I've talked to Steve about this a lot, and I've talked to coaches about it. They don't say it because they're really good coaches, and coaches aren't going to hang their players out to dry it like that. But there's so many times the players screw something up. Like, they just go out there and run the play incorrectly, or they'll go over something in the huddle. Mm. They'll break the huddle and come out and screw it up. Mm. Like, you what? You had, like, 5 seconds to retain that. You couldn't do it. It's supposed to be a down screen, not a cross screen. And it happens all the time. And all the fans see is like, oh, what a screwed up play. When really what happened was the play was actually pretty decent. They didn't run it, or they screwed it up somehow, or somebody did something they weren't supposed to do. So that's just me. Like, the coaches, unless it's egregious, I usually don't kill too much. But the players, I have no problem getting on the players, because the players are the ones out there on the field, on the court, on the diamond. They're playing. They have the game in their hands. And more often than not, they're the ones that win the game or lose the game. It's not managers or coaches.
One thing I've talked about with Warriors people is that, you know what? They really are fortunate they won the title quickly. So you just, like, you can't have rings, right? Rings. Well, you lose in the second season, it's rings, right? You know, it's, they've accomplished it. You can't go back on them. And yep. 49ers, if they had won it in 2019,
yep,
all these other things, you wouldn't have the same kind of conversation. It's the world we live in. It's fair. Yep. And at some point, it's fair. Why do we love Bill Walsh? Because he won rings, right? Not because he came in second. But the Warriors got through that. The 49ers under Walsh got through that the first year. Like, they go to the playoffs, they're there, they win it. And the 49ers have not done that. And I think it's an achievement. You mentioned the Andy Reid. It's an achievement to be a contender for all these years, because you're going to break through eventually if you're good.
Yep.
It just takes a long time sometimes.
Yeah,
exactly. Just building, right? That's the thing that we're dealing with now. The building, the tension. Oh my God, they're not going to, they got this year? No, it's next year. They're not next year, the year after that.
Yep.
So I do feel, and I think I had this talk with Clay once. It's like, oh yeah, you think so? Yeah, yes, Clay. If you had not won it in that first year and you had lost it again the next year, there would have been something that you're carrying around, and the 49ers are carrying it around big time right now.
No, there's no doubt about it. Because I always kind of semi-debate with people when they say he hasn't won a big one. I go, no, he hasn't won the big one. He's won a big one. NFC Championship counts as a big game. And every playoff game in my mind counts as a big one. Just each step is a bigger game. But no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, even though they've lost twice to maybe the greatest quarterback of all time, when all said and done, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have to find a way to make a play. You have to find a way to make a catch. You have to find a way. Like, go back to the first Super Bowl they lost, when Mahomes had that big play. It was like 3rd and 18 or something. He made that big play to Tyreek Hill down the field. And I think Mosley was the cornerback on that side, and he bit on an in-cut. Like, he bit, like, on an in-cut, and you could see him leave the screen, and Tyreek Hill just went right behind him. And instead of, like, letting that guy go, because if he catches it, he's not going to have first down yardage anyways, then, you know, it's little stuff like that, you know, you those things all got to be buttoned up. And I don't want to kill him. I mean, I think he was a rookie at the time. So, but, I mean, just, you know, little stuff like that happens throughout the course of the game. And sometimes it's not even who wins the game, it's who doesn't lose the game. Who does less to lose a game? And that's a saying that everybody probably knows, but coaches use it all the time. You gotta learn how not to lose before you learn how to win. And they certainly do that. I mean, they win enough. They know how to win. This year, though, they don't. I mean, this year I feel like it almost like they need to adhere to that. You got to learn how not to lose before you win, because it seems like they're losing more games, just flat out losing them, than the other team is actually beating them. But to me, I'm like, look, I'm holding on to this guy. because, and I say this all the time, I said it all the time on the show. If your coach gets fired, you fire your coach, and he gets hired within like a week or two, that's a bad fire. Mm-hmm. You probably should have kept that guy. And I think Kyle Shanahan would probably a lot of teams out there that would look and go, you know what? We like it. We could use that. I don't think that guy'd be able to work very long.
I think there's some comparisons between Kyle Shanahan and Jim Harbaugh. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, not the exact same guy, not the exact same coach, but there is a level they get you to. There just is a level they get you to that is the level that you need to be to get to the next one. Now, you want to get to the next, you want to win that, but if you can't get to this level, then you're Doug Peterson. I mean, although he's won a Super Bowl, I shouldn't say. You know, bad example.
That's a good example, I think, because it's like, okay, what if you catch a, like lightning in a bottle one time? Does that mean you're a really good, consistent coach if you can't win or even get to the playoffs of the next like 5, 6, 7, 8 years? Was that just a fluky thing? Is somebody going to sit here and tell me that Doug Peterson's a better coach than Kyle Shanahan because he's won a Super Bowl? I mean, if you're going to tell me that, then I'm going to go ahead and tell you Bill Weddington's a better player than Karl Malone because he won a championship. It's like, it doesn't work that way. These things are a little more complex than that. It's not just binary. You've won a Super Bowl and you haven't. Those who have won a Super Bowl are better than those who haven't won a Super Bowl. You know, I used to argue with my buddies all the time, like, who's a better quarterback, Philip Rivers or Eli Manning? I'm like, well, I mean, Eli Manning has 2 Super Bowls. He's beaten the Patriots twice, 2 of the greatest, but I go, I don't know. You can't tell me that Philip Rivers couldn't have won those Super Bowls if he was playing for the Giants. Could Elway have won Super Bowls if he was playing for the Niners and Montana was playing for the Broncos? Like, the quarterback position's a funky one, but I just don't like that. Like, oh, he won, so he's better than your guy. Well, now, because there's a lot of different circumstances that go with it. But, I mean, your point is well taken.
All right, Tommy, we can go on and on, and we probably will at other points, maybe on the golf course, including very soon. But I got to end this with a version of the question that I anticipate more with you than any other of my guests. Maybe Kruko's up there, too, because Kruko and my book takes really do match, too. But Tom Tolbert, what's your favorite book right now?
So I'm starting a new book. Remember I gave you the last book. What was it?
Sapiens.
Sapiens. Yeah. Yep. Sapiens. Yep. This is the guy that wrote Sapiens. I think his name's Yuval, Harari, and it's called Nexus, and it goes from the Stone Age to now, and it covers the information age, how people, gather their information, get their information and all that. So I'm always interested in that kind of stuff. Like, Sapiens was incredible. That's my favorite book of all time, just because talking about us. I mean, this is us, the people that we won't acknowledge on walks anymore, but it goes all the way back and through now, like how we've evolved. And I think this is going to be really interesting, especially with the advent of not just social media and all that, but now we're getting into AI. Now we're getting into other things and other avenues, which is really going to change the entire game. For the better, I hope. Who knows? But yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading that one. I got plenty of time to read books now. I've had about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 books that I've been wanting to read forever, and I always find myself watching a game instead. So I'm looking forward to, in fact, when I get done talking to you, I'm going to go in there, grab some water, sit down, feed Lou, and probably sit on the couch next to her and start my book.
Get Lou. She needs a little bit of attention there because she's been showing her face. It's awesome.
She wants food. It's incredible. Like she just knows. It's like, I don't know how she knows it's 2 o'clock. Like, she's like every 2 o'clock, like, boom, she's there. Like, she appears out of nowhere. It's like, you gonna feed me now? It's like, God dang, how do you know it's 2 o'clock already?
Here's a question. Like, does daylight savings time change that or right on top of it?
No. It took her a while. She was starting to hit me up at 1:30. I was like, slow down, okay? Because then you're gonna try to hit me up at 5:30 now again, and that ain't happening. You get in the more you get morning when I get up, and you get lunch, and then that's it. And then I had to get her a snack. They say get your dogs, if you like they like snacks, you don't want any calories, just give them some pumpkin. So I buy her pumpkin and just give her a couple plops of pumpkin, let her eat that. She enjoys it, and then we can move on with our evening.
All right, Tom Tolbert, great talking with you and exciting new beginnings. And yeah, I mean, getting moving on from jobs is fun. I'm telling you that. You joined the club. Finally, you joined the club. Change of jobs occasionally. At least once every 30 years. Yeah. Once every 30 years. All right, Tom. Thank you so much. Great talking to you as always. And I know there's many big things ahead for you.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. And as you know, I have some free time, so whenever you need me, feel free to give me a buzz.
You can't say come on the show anytime. Oh, wait a minute. No, you can come on my show.
Like, you'll literally be getting sick of me. You'll be like, didn't I just have you on like 2 days ago? What are we doing here?
All right, Tommy. We might have to have that talk. No, all good, Tommy. Appreciate it so much. You're a good friend, and that was a great goodbye show, and to many more in the future. All right, everybody.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.